mask on, and I get a reprieve being up here, but I know that you don't, so I'll try to limit the time that I'm up here so you can be able to. Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11, we want to look at the subject that is something that we should all be very familiar with, and something that I hope that we've been using during this time. I want to talk to you this morning about prayer, its power, and its purpose. In Philippians 4, verse 6, the scripture says, "Let your requests be made known to God." Prayer is a privilege. It is a spiritual blessing. It is only a spiritual blessing and a right of those who are in the family of God. We have the privilege and we have the blessing of being able to talk to God and communicate with God at any time, under any circumstances, for any situation. And it is a blessing, I'm afraid, that many of us do not use to its full capacity, because we don't either understand the power of it, or do we understand the purpose of it. And I hope this lesson is going to help shed some light on that. I want to begin by in Luke chapter 11. This is a time when Jesus is in a discussion with his disciples. "Now it came to pass, as he was praying at a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said to him, 'Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples.' So he said to them, 'When you pray, say, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our debts, for we also forgive everyone who is indebted to us. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one.' And he said to them, 'Which of you shall have a friend, and go to him at midnight and say to him, Friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine has come to me on his journey, and I have nothing to set before him. And he will answer from within and say, Do not trouble me. The door is now shut, my children are in bed with me in bed. I cannot rise and give to you. I say to you, though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend, yet because his persistence, he will rise and give him as many as he needs. So I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who knocks, it will be opened. If the son asks for bread from any father among you, would you give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, would you give him a serpent instead of a fish? Or if he asks for an egg, would you offer him a scorpion? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more your heavenly Father will give, the Holy Spirit to those who ask him." Now, when you look at the life of Jesus while he was upon this earth, his life is a pattern. It is an example. And one of the things that Jesus did when he was on this earth is he prayed. And he prayed often. And he prayed in many different circumstances. And so the disciples noticed that he prayed often. And so they asked him, "Lord, teach us how to pray." Sometimes that is what we need. We need instruction in how to pray, the power of prayer, and the purpose of prayer. Jesus prayed as he had often done. This was a regular routine. You know, when the Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 5:17, "Pray without ceasing," he's talking about a habit. He's talking about something that's done regularly, not something you've just done at the dinner table, not something you've just done when you have a problem, not something that's done just when you need something, but something that's a daily part of your life. And Jesus demonstrated that while he was upon earth. We also see that the disciples saw and heard, and they were impressed. You know, one of my friends who just passed away recently in February, a preacher friend of mine, he had a young boy when he was 14 that had cancer. And I remember him calling everybody he knew. He called everybody he could talk to in this country or any other country that he knew and wanted them to pray for his son. And this friend of mine, he became one of the strongest components. Could you get the door? Someone's back there standing. We became one of the strongest components of prayer. And one of the things that I will miss about my brother, by the way, his son recovered completely from cancer, and today is a gospel preacher in Franklin, Ohio. But, and also was one of the speakers at his father's funeral. But one of the things that I would miss about my brother is, man, he could pray. And when he prayed, it was something to listen to. You knew it was from the heart. You knew it was something that he felt passionately about. And it would bring you to tears to listen to him pray. You know, not everybody has that ability to pray like that. But he did. And we need to be impressed that you don't have to, and it doesn't have to be low, doesn't have to be flowery, but when it comes from the heart, it can move you. It can move you to tears when you understand the power that is in prayer. Ask Jesus to teach you to do the same. Now, you know, it's always impressed me as a gospel preacher, if my Lord, who was God on earth, saw the need to pray at various times in his life, I think it's not a stretch to think that I need to pray at times in my life. And he was God. He was God in the flesh. And yet he prayed, and he prayed often, and he prayed fervently. And he wanted the disciples to learn how to do that and to use it in the same way he did. Jesus gave them a model of prayer. Now, one of the mistakes that's made about this, and also in Matthew's account, this is not the model of prayer. This is a model how to pray. This prayer is not, people today call this the Lord's Prayer. This is not the Lord's Prayer. This is the Lord's teaching on how to pray. There's only one part of it that you wouldn't pray today. And that is that the kingdom would come. You wouldn't pray for that today because it's already happened. The kingdom came on the day of Pentecost. But at that time, it hadn't come yet. And it was something that was in transition. And so they were praying for that because they knew that was one of the reasons that Jesus came to earth. He came to proclaim the coming of the kingdom of God. And so he told them that was something they needed to pray about because it had not yet happened. But this is not a model prayer. This is how to pray. And the two things about this prayer that you should remember, number one, that he addressed it to his Father. And the second thing you need to remember is he prayed through himself. And he's going to tell them to ask in his name. He said to ask in my name. So all prayer has to be first and foremost to the Father, and it must be prayed through Christ. Those are things that we learn from this prayer. Those are things that the only other prayer that's recorded after this is in Acts chapter 4, where Peter prayed it, and that prayer follows this model that we read in Luke chapter 11. And Jesus taught about the persistence in prayer. Remember the illustration he gave? The man that needed three loaves had somebody come to him, and he needed it, and he didn't have any. So he goes to a friend, he knows that he has some, and he asked him to help him because he's in need. And he said, wait a minute, I'm in bed. I'm in bed, and my kids are in bed with me. I can't get up and answer the door. But he says, even though he has what he needs, he will give him because he's persistent. What does that mean? It means he's going to keep asking. You ever heard of people that they just keep asking you? Finally, you just give in. You just give in because of the constant battering. This is in a good way. This persistence in telling God what you need. Don't give up after the first time. We need to continually, fervently pray for the things that we need in our life. We need to be persistent. And he assured them that God would give them what they asked. Now again, we're going to see that every prayer that you ever uttered is that answer. Now it might not be answered the way you want it. It might not even be answered in the way that you thought it should be answered. But every prayer is answered because every prayer is heard. And so we need to know that God knows what's best for us. We sometimes think we know what's best for us, but God knows always what is best for us. And that's why we trust Him, and that's why we pray to Him, because He loves us and He cares for us, and He's going to answer in what is best for us. But you know what? The only reason you pray to Him is that you believe that He has your best interest at heart. And He does. And so we should always, always understand that we need to be persistent and we need to trust God that He will give us what we need. Now, let's talk for a moment about the need for prayer. Teach us to pray. They needed to talk to God as He did. If the Son of God needed to pray, I'm going to go out on a limb. And I'm going to say that we do too. If the Son of God needed to pray while He was on earth, you and I need to pray while we're on earth. If he had a lot to pray about, so do we. We have a lot to pray about. Let me ask you a question today. How much have you spent your time in prayer thanking God for your health? We've had 86,000 people die in this country in the last 2 months. That's a lot of people. But yet, none of those numbers are us. Are we thankful for that? Are we grateful for that? What about our families that have been spared and are healthy? I have two parents in a nursing home in Indiana. I pray fervently every day that God watches them, that they not get this. Because I know what will happen if it gets in that nursing home. But you see, I don't have any control over that. And you know, in reality, that my parents don't have any control over it either. They've been in their room. They have not been out of their rooms since the 15th of March. And you think we got it bad? You think it's tough on us? We've got two people in this congregation, Elizabeth Ellis, Charles Stevens. They've been locked down since this thing began. We can't even go see them. I can't even see my parents. And the governor of Indiana said that he doesn't know when I'll be able to do it. But you know what? That didn't bother me. Because I don't have to see my parents to know that they know I love them. And I want them protected. And if it means protecting me not seeing them, I won't see them. You see, we have a lot to pray about. If he had concerns that he took to the Father, I believe we have concerns in our lives that we need to take to the Father. Not just about our health. You know, we don't really have this pandemic to worry about. We have 36.5 million people out of work. Our economy has been turned upside down. Stanley, there's another person at the door. So what should we do about that? We should pray about it. There's very little we can do as an individual. We are going to have to do what we can, but we're going to have to trust somebody a lot more powerful than us and powerful than our president and our government that can dig us out of the hole that we're in. The government is not going to be able to do it all. So we need to pray for one who truly cares for us. If he had wishes that he were to ask of the Father, I think we have those too. And so if he needed to talk to God, don't you think that we need to talk to God too? What to learn to do and what we need to do. We need to learn to pray, but we need to learn what to do when we pray. We need God's help. Now you know what? I believe I'm going to go on the limb here again. I don't believe any of us in this room have ever had our faith tested like we've had in the last 2 months. I'm only 66, and you were much older than me. Even Flossie, who's 100 years old, she, that was before, 2 years before the flu 1918. So nobody's ever seen anything like this. We've never dealt with anything like this. And you know what? It's really brought this into view, isn't it? Cast your care upon him, for he cared for you. We need God now more than we ever do. Nobody's got to tell us that. But we should have always known that. We should have known this before this coronavirus came along. We should have known all along that we need God every day. We shouldn't have taken this to bring that to our attention. We need to praise God. We need to be thankful that we're his children. We need to praise the power and the love that he has for us and the willingness he has to listen to our prayers and to answer our prayers and to supply our needs. We need to thank him for that. We need to be extremely thankful for those things in our lives. We need to ask. You know, ask and ye shall receive. You see, the Bible says in Matthew 6:8, God knows what you need even before you ask. Well, he knows already what I got to ask you. It demonstrates faith. It demonstrates trust. You need to ask. Sometimes God doesn't help us because we don't ask him. Maybe we think he's too busy. Maybe he thinks he can't do it. Or maybe we just think we need to work this out on our own. Maybe we need to go to someone who is in a better position to help us and to understand us than we are to understand ourselves. We need to ask him. Maybe you need to beg. You know what? I'm not against doing that. I can tell you that I pray fervently every day that God takes care of my parents. That doesn't bother me a bit. I pray fervently that God does that. I pray fervently every day that God protects every member of this church. That none of us come down with this virus. And you know what? I'll do what I can to prevent it, but I know he can do a lot more than I can do. And we should be persistent and we should be constant in praying for one another during this pandemic. God commands us to pray. This is not a suggestion, folks. This is a command. Men ought to pray always. That's what Luke 18 says. Jesus said, men ought to pray always. We should pray without ceasing, as I mentioned a few moments ago. And we should pray everywhere. What situation would you not present to God? What situation would not be needful for us to pray about? Our livelihood, our children, our grandchildren, our health, the congregation, the Lord's work. What is there about in our life that we don't need to pray about? What is there about our lives that God can help strengthen or touch it in some way? What part of our lives would be out of limits to talk to God about? I don't think there is any such thing. We need to pray everywhere. We need to, I've been praying, my brother, we've been locked down for a couple of months. In the Philippines, they were locked down and quarantined the country on May the 12th, and they are still, March the 12th, and they are still locked down to the end of May. They can't move, they can't get about. And 70% of that nation lives under poverty level. So when you think it's tough and you think it's uncomfortable, we have to put up with so much, stop and think about that we're not the only ones in this. We're not the only one that this is affecting. It's affecting the whole world. It's affecting our whole state. It's affecting our community. And we need not to be so selfish that it's just about me and it's just about you. We need to pray for other people that they would be saved during this time. The teacher of prayer. Lord, teach us to pray. Prayer is taught and it is learned. More than wishing for something. Prayer is more than wishing for. What was Paul's desire for his brethren in Romans 10? My desire is for Israel that they be saved. Did he just pray about it and just sit back and wait for God to answer? No, Paul didn't do that. You know what Paul did? Every place he went, what was the first place he went? He went to the synagogue. Why did he go there? because that's what the Jews wanted. That's what his people wanted. And he would reason with them in the scripture. He did, he prayed his heart that he wanted them to be saved, but he didn't just pray about it. He prayed and then he did something about it. He did what he could to help answer that prayer. And brethren, we need to do that. We need to do our part. We pray and we ask for things, but we need to also do our part. It doesn't come naturally. You know, we're a prideful people in this country. It's hard for us to ask for anything. We think we can do everything ourselves. We think we're just we're so independent and we're so strong and we don't need anybody's help. Well, you know what? I think there's a lot of people in the last 2 months that they're rethinking that idea. That they don't need anybody's help and they can figure it all out on their own. I think somehow that has come to light that maybe that's not true like we thought it was. John taught his disciples to pray, and we need to teach people how to pray. You pray to the Father. You pray through the Son. You pray what's in your heart. You know, you ever have people say, I just don't know what to say. Say what's on your heart. Just say what's in your mind. It's you and God. You're just talking to you and God. God knows what you need. God knows what you're trying to say. God can figure it out. You know what? God understands you. God understands me. And when we pray, God understands what we need. We just need to trust him. We need to know what the contents, the elements, what do we need? What do we think we want? What is it that we think we need that can help us? How? The rules, what are the rules to pray? The only two rules are you've got to pray to the Father through the Son, and you've got to be in the family of God to be able that your prayer gets higher than the ceiling. Those are the rules. That's it. Oh, one other rule. You got to not ask to miss. So don't ask to win the lottery because you ain't going to win. That's asking to miss. And don't ask for your enemy to get the coronavirus because you'll probably get it. You see, that's asking to miss. You can't do that. You can't ask something that's contrary to God's will because he won't answer that. The manner, the approach. You know what the approach is? Humble. We have to have humility. We have to understand who we're talking to. You know, only one time in my life was I ever in the presence of someone that addressed a prayer and said, hi, Pat. That's irreverent. That's blasphemy. You're not talking to just anybody. You're talking to the creator of this world. You're talking to the one that holds your life in the palm of his hand. He is the one that's giving you every good thing that you have in this life, according to James 1, verse 17. Every good and perfect gift that we have because of God. You need to remember, and I need to remember, who am I talking to? I am talking to the God of heaven, and I need to be reverent, and I need to be respectful, and I need to be humble when I approach him in prayer. The time. Is there a long time to pray? If there is, I don't know what it would be. We need to pray. And we need to pray often. And we need to pray regularly. Brethren, these times help us to understand that there are things that we cannot do for ourselves. There are things that are beyond our power to fix. There are things that are beyond our power to make go away. If any of us have the power of this to go away, we will be sitting like we are in this capacity this morning. We're going to have to depend upon those who know more about it than we do. And we're going to have to be patient, and that's not something that we're very good at. We're not very good at being patient. And we're not very good at being inconvenienced. And we're not very good at having to do things that we don't like to do. We're just not very good at that. But you know what? Maybe we need to get good at it. Maybe we need to get to look beyond our own nose. And to look beyond our own needs. And we need, I hope, that during this pandemic, in closing this morning, I hope that you've checked on your neighbor that lives next door to you. or the one that's on the right, or the one on the left, or the little lady that you just love that lives on your block. Have you called her? Have you checked on her? Have you made sure that they have what they need? Have you called any of the brethren during this 2-month period? Have you called and checked on them? See how they're doing? Now, you know what? You're probably thinking I've said that because I do that every week. But you know what? I don't do that every week because I'm your preacher. I do that because I care about you. And you know why I do that? Because then when I have to preach tough lessons, you probably listen to me because you know I care about you. Brother, who among us doesn't need to be cared about during this time? Well, sometimes you don't appreciate what you have until you don't have it. Every Sunday morning in the last 8 weeks, I'm like Jack. I was talking to Jack the other day. I'm like Jack. Every Sunday morning, I felt like I was doing something wrong. You know what? Every Sunday, I came down here because I felt guilty, because I wasn't here. How much does this mean to us now? How much do we appreciate being able to assemble like we are right now? And how many of us in this audience took that for granted until it was taken away from us? You know what every person that I talked to during this time told me? I miss my brother. I miss being here. Maybe that's a good thing that came out of this, that we learned to appreciate something that we maybe have taken for granted. And we need to be thankful to God. You know, there's a reason why God designed worship the way he did, that we come together in this capacity. There's a reason why we do this. It's for our benefit and our own good, that we might be provoked to love and good work, that we can be strengthened. And I'm looking forward to the time where I don't see the yellow tape, I don't see the mask, and I don't see social distancing. I'm looking forward to that time, but until that time comes, I'll trust God that he'll lead us to the other side. And I pray that that indeed happens. And we should do that because we have the right to pray, and to pray often, and to pray fervently. Please take your song books out to the song. Your brother Ron graciously decided to lead the invitation song. If you're here, you're not a Christian, and you want to obey the gospel. Somebody asked me the other day, what do you do if somebody wants to obey the gospel? How do you get a social distance in there? You know what? I'll take my chances. Because I don't think the Lord's going to threaten me with the coronavirus or the sinner who wants to obey the gospel. Because that's what God wants. He wants a sinner to come to him. Maybe you're here and you are a Christian. And maybe you haven't been as thankful as you ought to be. Maybe you've learned during this time that you've taken a lot of things for granted and you are not living the kind of life that you know you should. If you've done something in a private way, you take care of that between you and God. You don't need to come up here and talk to me about it. You can take care of that between you and God. If you've done something in a public way, or you've done something that you're just weak and you need the strength of the prayers of the brethren here, the Bible says this in James 5:16. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And if we can help you in any way, we bid you to come forward as together we stand and we sing.